We're going through the book of Jude. We're up to verse 9 of Jude chapter 2. Jude chapter 2, verse 9. Give you a minute to turn there. You're laughing. Yes, because there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. I thought Mickey here would be looking for it all night, so I figured I'd give her. She says only learned because she learned from me. That's good. I think the key verse in the book of Jude is verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Let me start with verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And then here's why. Here's why the book of Jude. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who are before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. So ungodly men do creep into churches. Old men, young men, ungodly men creep into churches. We call them creeps. All right? They crept in unawares. Nobody knew. Who are before of old ordained to this condemnation. It's like, hey, I've told you about it before. We read about it in the Old Testament. They're ungodly men, and they turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. They have a wrong view of grace and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers, talking about these men, referring to Sodom and Gomorrah, all the way back to verse 6, angels which kept not their first estate. And likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, they despise dominion, they hate authority. And they speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil. Now watch this, make sure I read it right. He disputed about the body of Moses, brought a railing accusation, and said, the Lord rebuked thee. Right? No, I misread that. It says he durst not bring against him, against the devil, a railing accusation. He dared not do it. He didn't want to mess with his adversary, the devil. But he said, the Lord rebuked thee. The Lord rebuked thee. So it was the name of Jesus that has power over Satan. So you've got the charismatic movements saying, just rebuke Satan right now. Just rebuke him. Tell him to leave. No, listen, don't mess with him. He'll twist you up, turn you upside down, mess with you physically, mentally. He'll bring things into your life that manipulate your mind. Don't mess with him. But anytime you face Satan, you deal with him by calling on the name of Jesus and having the Lord Jesus deal with him. So we're going to talk about him tonight. We're going to talk about our adversary. We're going to pull the mask off. We're going to look at him. I put a lot of prayer into tonight. I've asked the men I prayed with tonight to pray about this. And very important that we approach this covered in the blood. Can you do that right now? Can you pray about this message? Let's go to prayer. Just quietly pray before the Lord. And we're asking this, Lord, through the blood of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. Tonight's a message that I think it was 8 years ago, seven, 8 years ago, I presented this thoroughly, which I'll do it again tonight. But we're going to hit it like a shotgun approach. like a machine gun approach. It's not going to be as in depth. We're going to get right through it. So hang on. You're going to be, if you want the notes to this message, I think they're like 21 pages long. I'm not sure. But I won't preach that much. They were thinking I had the three glasses were for that message. They were looking ahead. But I'm not going to do that. I gave the illustration. I'll read it again. John Phillips writes this. He said, modern man professes not to believe in demons. You ever face that? I don't believe in demons. But they exist just the same. Moreover, they are clever with a diabolical cunning. And man's attitude toward the demon world may well be likened to man's attitude in the dark ages around toward bacteria. Remember this? If we could be transported back to London in the year 1666, we would find ourselves in a nightmare world. The great bubonic plague is at its height. The heights, the sounds, the sights of the city are like the terrible climax of a horror movie. It's generally believed that fresh air is the culprit. So the College of Physicians recommends the frequent firing of guns to blow away the deadly fresh air. And people sealed themselves into rooms and they would burn foul-bearing messes toward off the fresh air. Chimneys are sealed. Oh no. Rooms are gray with smoke. People choking with suffocating stench. Outside, palls of black smoke hang over the city. And people sit in the tightly sealed chambers and grimly determined to endure the smarting smoke and convinced they are thus immune to the plague. And we tell them that you're wrong, that the plague is not caused by fresh air, but it's caused by germs and microscopic organisms spread by fleas, and they just laugh us to scorn. Well, modern man has adopted a similar attitude toward the demon world. We tell them that Satan has countless hosts of invisible demons to aid him in his dark designs against mankind. We say that these unseen beings are intelligent and that before long they are to be joined by countless more of their kind, worse than themselves. People look at us with pitying scorn. You ever have that happen? And they suggest we peddle our theories to the publishers of science fiction. But it's true all the same. Once the pit is opened, we've looked at that in the book of Revelation, which could happen in the next 7 years if Christ were to come tonight. Once the pit is opened, the world of men will be invaded by a virus far more dreadful than the bubonic plague, a virus all the more deadly because it's able to think and because it directs its attack against the soul rather than the body. So I want us to look at the characteristics of evil angels, demons. We're going to look at some of the names in Scripture of the fallen angels. Just go through this quickly. The Old Testament has different names. One name is Shadim in the Hebrew, which means a demon is a spoiler, a destroyer. It means malignant. Then Sirim, sire, satyr, and the verses are in your notes there, means shaggy or hairy one. Then Roach means a spirit. And then demons are called evil spirits. They cause contention. They caused contention between wicked Abimelech and his followers, Judges 9. They caused deep depression to fall upon King Saul. They caused Saul to make attempts on David's life. They plant ideas in a person to do damage to someone else. A demon is called a lying spirit, 1 Kings 22. A perverse spirit, Isaiah 19. Sexually impure spirit, Israel turned from God after giving themselves over to these demons. A demon's called an unclean spirit. Demons are called familiar spirits. 16 times in the Old Testament, familiar spirits. Did you know God imposed a death penalty upon mediums, people who deal with demons? Death penalty? Leviticus 20, verse 6. Saul sought advice from a demon, the witch of Endor, and was later killed by God for doing that, 1 Chronicles 10:13. Wicked Judean King Manasseh relied upon demons, 2 Kings 21:6. Godly Judean King Josiah did away with demon worship, 2 Kings 23:24. Another name for a demon or an evil spirit would be Molech. Molech, which means an angel or a messenger. It says in Psalm 78:14, he cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, his wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels or demons among them. Now there are New Testament names for demons. First of all, a demon is called, it's the word for the spirit, pneuma, a spirit. And they're called evil spirits. They're called foul spirits. They're called wicked spirits. Demons are wicked. And then you have deaf and dumb spirits. It says in Mark 9:25, and we're going to be going through a study in the book of Mark, by the way. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." I've heard this. I've heard this happen. And some of you are nodding your head. You've seen it. I've heard demons cry out. I've seen it. Very frightening. I remember one night, I was doing setups in my dorm in college. I have a CD of a missionary that his ministry was casting out demons. And he played the recording. And demons cried out. I was doing setups, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't move of fear until I pled the blood of Jesus. Demons are real. They're called seducing spirits. They seduce. They deceive. 1 Timothy 4:1. They deny Christ. Christ denying spirits. 1 John 4:3. Did you know demons work miracles? You have miracle-working demons. Revelation 16:14. For they are the spirits of devils, and demons, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So demons work miracles. So don't be deceived by the faith healers. Demons do miracles. Did you know that? Then you have disobedient demons, disobedient spirits, Ephesians 2:2. Then another word for demon or evil spirit in the New Testament is angelos, which means angel. They're the devil's angels, Matthew 25:41. As we're seeing in Jude, verse 6, they're angels which kept not their first estate. Then they're called demons, which we've looked at. Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 8. Now there's a location. Here's where they are. Here's where the demons live. You have unchained demons. These are unchained, unbound angels, fallen angels, demons. And they're given a certain amount of freedom for this present time. And Ephesians 6:12 talks about this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And he talks about these hierarchies of demons, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth, he deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his demons, angels, were cast out with him. Revelation 12:9. Then you have angels that are bound. They're chained. Chained angels. They're chained, fallen angels. And at this present time, right now, they have no freedom. 2 Peter 2:4. Jude 6. Luke 8. And there are two Greek words found in these verses. Actually, let me read the verses. Revelation 2 Peter 2:4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, they fell with Satan." The Old Testament talks about that. And delivered them into chains of darkness shall be reserved unto judgment. And Jude, verse 6, the angels which kept not their first estate, left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Luke 8, 30 and 31. And Jesus asked him, saying, what's your name? What is thy name? He said, Legion. Because many devils or demons were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. Now you look back through those verses, you find two Greek words in these verses talking about the same place. One's Tartarus, which means hell. 2 Peter 2:4. Then the abyss, abusis, which is translated the deep or the abyss. We read about that in Revelation chapter 9. And we learn concerning the bottomless pit where the angels are bound, the name of their leader. You know what the later name of their leader is? It says whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. In the Greek tongue, New Testament tongue, his name is Apollyon. And they both mean destroyer. Anytime demons are in charge, they destroy. They have no love for us. They have no desire to help. The end game for a demon is to destroy us. And so the Antichrist comes from the bottomless pit, the same place, the abyss. Actually, Satan's going to be in prison there during the millennial, the thousand reign of Christ. Now, what was the sin of the bound angels? Well, it's already been observed that one-third of heaven's angels joined Lucifer in his rebellion against God. Anytime you find rebellion against God, there are demons involved. Satan's involved. Genesis 6 talks about that. Genesis 6, 1 through 4. Now let's talk just a bit about the organization and the rank of fallen angels. Did you know they have a rank and file? We read about that in Ephesians 6, 12. They have principalities. You have powers. Rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is God's select, elect, angelic group. And there are evil angels, though. Let me take that back. Not God's. These are ordained by God, but these are Satan's, only given by permission from God's hierarchy. They're evil angels who rule over nations. Did you know that? The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, Daniel 10:13. Below, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me, one of the archangels, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Mark 5:9, a wicked angel named Legion headed up a group of fallen demons who possessed the maniac of Gadara. The bottomless pit, controlled by a demon called Abaddon or Apollyon. You have four military demons who will lead that hellish army, 200 million strong, during the last part of the tribulation. It says in Revelation 9:15, and four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, that's 3.5 years, a year, to slay a third part of men. Then you have the three angels that organize events which lead to the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 16, verse 13 to 14. Now, what do they look like? What do demons look like? Well, the appearance of demons is fallen angels, like good angels, are invisible. They're invisible spirit beings. However, on occasion, they will manifest themselves. There are three New Testament passages which offer description about these corrupted creatures. Revelation 9, 7 through 10. You have the shapes of these creatures. Absolutely hideous. They're like horses prepared for battle. Crowns of gold seem to be upon their heads. Their faces are like men's, hair like women's, teeth like lions. Breastplates as iron. Tails are like those of a scorpion. And the sounds of their wings are like many chariots rushing toward battle. Hideous. Revelation 9 says these demons are mounted upon some type of a hellish horse. And the heads of these horses are like lion's heads with smoke, fire, flaming sulfur coming out of their noses. The riders wearing fiery red breastplates. Revelation 16, verse 13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. What about the personality of demons? As we already have seen, they have names. Legion, Apollyon. We've seen that they speak. Luke 4, verse 34, they said, let us alone. He's talking to Jesus. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. In Luke 8, 28, when he saw Jesus, the demon, he cried out and he fell down before him with a loud voice saying, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Matthew 8, 29, Mark 5, 12, Acts 19, 15, Mark 3, 11. Did you know that demons are very intelligent? They have a higher IQ, I promise you, than you or I. And we see here they know who Jesus is. Thou Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God. We know that they know of future damnation, Matthew 8, 29. They cried out, what have we to do with thee? Are you come to torment us before the time? So they know the time is coming. Then they know the saved from the unsaved. They know the saved from the unsaved. We don't. It says in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, it says, it came to pass as they went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought our masters much gains by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, and they show us the way of salvation. Revelation 9, 4, it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, nor any tree, but only those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. They know Christians and they know the lost. Then they're able to formulate a Satan-centered, systematic theology. Satan-centered, systematic theology. And we looked at this in 1 Timothy 4, 1. It says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, or doctrines of demons. They have doctrine. Then we know that demons experience emotion. They experience fear, James 2:19. They have desire, Mark 5:12. They're cynics, they're cynical, they have cynicism, Acts 16:15-18. We know that they possess great strength. You ever dealt with somebody demon-possessed, superhuman strength? I have. And that's demonstrated in Egypt, Exodus 7:11-12. Demonstrated in Persia, Daniel 10:13. Gadara, Mark 5:2-4. Ephesus, Acts 19:16. A man whom the demon, the evil spirit, was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, and they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I'm going to get an instant replay of that when I get to heaven. They pretended to be like Paul and casting out demons. Jesus we know. Paul we know. Who are you? If the Channel 9 news, they're watching, and these seven demons tore these guys apart head to limb and threw them out of the building. They're pretty strong. You don't mess with demons. Now you have the activities of demons. Well, they oppose God's program. Anytime you find demonic powers involved, There's an opposition to the program of God. Daniel 10, 10 through 14, Ephesians 6, 12. And they execute Satan's program. Revelation 16, 13 to 14. They promote a program of Satan. By the way, Satan's a great deceiver. He presents himself as an angel of light. They disseminate false doctrine. We saw that. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Then they afflict human beings. They can hurt you. Do you know that? Boy, there's quite a bit of discussion. Can a Christian be demon-possessed? I say no and yes. A demon can't touch your spirit. That belongs to Jesus. But your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, there are people that give their mind over to Satan. Rock music. They give their body over to Satan. Drugs, alcohol. And they're oppressed by Satan. Not possessed, because Satan has no access to their spirit. Now, demons can cause insanity. Matthew 8, 28. Matthew 17, 15. Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire, off into the water. And Jesus rebuked the devil, the demon, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Remember a young man that I was called to his house from a family that were not part of our church. We're not part of the youth group in California. And they said, would you come? Could you come? We have a senior in high school. And he lays on the couch for a half hour. He'd get up and go take a shower. And he'd come back for another half hour and then go back and take another shower. In and out, he just can't get clean. He can't get clean. And Pastor Scott, I suspect demonic power. His name was Dave. And we went to the house. I called a friend of mine named Steve, Pastor Steve. He said, we have another time, another opportunity here. He went to the house, and there he was. We prayed over him and pled the blood of Jesus, quoted the word of God. He was delivered. And didn't have to take a shower every half hour after that. Some demons cause deafness and muteness of speech. Matthew 9:33, Mark 9:25. Some demons may cause immorality. You show me anybody that opens their mind to pornography, to evil music, the rock and roll music, the rock music. Anybody that opens their mind to things that are Satan-controlled, all of a sudden they're dominated by a spirit of immorality. Dirty words, filthy language, Snapchat, filthy pictures. That's suggested by the Old Testament prophet Hosea, who warns us about the spirit of the demon of whoredoms. Hosea 4:12, Hosea 5:4. Some demons can cause blindness. Matthew 12:22. He was blind and dumb. Some cause personal injuries. It says, wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him and befoameth. He gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should not cast, that they should cast him out. And they could not. I hesitate to share this, but I will. I'll probably delete it off any kind of recording, but in the recording I have, there's this sweet woman praying, sweet woman, and suspected that she had demons in her. She'd still pray. And the man, missionary, would say, I plead the blood of Jesus. And quoting verses on the blood, and all of a sudden, we heard a voice come out, leave us alone! We will hurt her! I will choke her, he said, in the name of Jesus, you can't touch her. I will kill her! I will choke her! This is my body! This is my body! We will choke her! We! More than one demon. And he cast the demons out. They are real. They want to destroy. They can cause physical defects. Luke 13:11. Then they can possess human beings. Oh my, there's a whole list of people in the Bible that were possessed of demons. At least 14 examples of individuals who were possessed by demons. You have Saul, Israel's first king, 1 Samuel 16:14. We talked about that. A lot of incidences. Then you have the 7 demon-possessed persons delivered by Jesus. A boy, a girl, a woman, 4 men. The maniac, the boy, Mary Magdalene, Simon the sorcerer, Elymas, a slave girl. Then we know that they will inflict both destruction and death upon the unsaved mankind during the Great Tribulation. 9th chapter of Revelation talks about that. I'm skipping over a lot to get to your notes. So what's the destiny of these unsaved demons? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:3 says they'll be judged by Christ and His church. Know ye not that we shall all judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? They'll be cast into the lake of fire forever, Matthew 25:41. Several other verses talk about that. Now let's talk last of all about the 8 symptoms of a demon-possessed person from Mark 5. Let me just give them to you. You can study this at home. In verse 2, the indwelling of the unclean spirit. A man was possessed. It says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met with him out of the tombs a man with, means possessed with, indwelt with, an unclean spirit, a demon. Then we know that demons, again, and we've mentioned this already, have unusual physical strength. Verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. And a demon-possessed person has sudden attacks of rage. This young man broke the chains and fetters. It says in verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, the chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Pastor, would you come? My daughter Kitty is sitting on the center of the floor in the family room. And she's growling at me. She's sitting with a sleeping bag wrapped around her. And she says, I can't touch her. I'm afraid of her. She's got superhuman strength. Her eyes are a different color. You know, if a skeptic were listening to that, he'd say, ah, come on. She's playing with you. I called my friend Steve, Pastor Steve, and we went over. There she was, in the middle of the floor. Her mom had blood scratches on her face from her daughter Kitty, superhuman strength. We prayed. We pled the blood of Jesus over Kitty. And Kitty's response was, hello, Pastor Steve. Hello, Pastor Scott. What are you doing here? Mom! What happened to you? Number 4, you have the deterioration of the personality. A person's personality will change. It's interesting that the demoniac ran to Jesus for help, but he cried out for fear. Mark 5:6-7. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Even demons worship Jesus. Lift their hands, wave back and forth, jive to the music. Demons can worship. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Then you have the opposition, the opposing of spiritual things. Verse 7, Jesus, leave me alone, says in chapter 5, verse 7 of Mark, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Don't. Stop, Jesus. Demons have keen perception. He knew immediately the true identity of Jesus. By the way, a person that's influenced by demons, young people, you hear this, older people, you hear this. A person influenced by demons wants nothing to do with a spirit-filled Christian. They can perceive, and they will stay away from you. Mark 5:7, he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Then number 7, you have the changing and modifying of the voice. I've heard that. A legion of demons spoke through his vocal facilities, through his mouth. He asked him, what is thy name? Verse 9. And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And last of all, you have occult transference. The demons left the man and entered into the swine. Verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently into a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000. And were choked in the sea. Cook, a Christian counselor, suggests these manifestations of a person who's demon-possessed. They resist prayer. They resist Bible reading. Hey, during prayer, they fall into a trance. They react to the name of Jesus. They exhibit clairvoyant abilities. They speak in unknown tongues. He warns those who put so much stress on speaking in tongues that Satan also has counterfeits. Another writer named Leckler lists the following. He said they have a passion for lying and impure thoughts, restlessness, depression and fear, compulsion to rebel against God or blaspheme and violence and cursing, excessive sexual or sensual cravings, resistance and hatred of spiritual things, inability to pronounce or write the name of Jesus, the appearance of mediumistic or clairvoyant abilities, inability to act on Christian counsel, the resistance to a Christian counselor, the inability to renounce the works of the devil, seizures or spells of unconsciousness, speaking in unlearned languages, there it is again, extraordinary physical strength, molestation with pain unrelated to illness or injuries. He advises that some of these marks may stem from mere subjection or affliction rather than actual possession. People are slashers. He says, since their marks have much in common. But demons can motivate that. So what's the key for us? What's the key? What do you do with this? Well, understand it's the blood of Jesus Christ that has the power over Satan. He cannot stand the blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame him by the blood and by the word, it says in Revelation. The word of their testimony. You speak truth. You speak the word of God when approached by something satanic, and you plead the blood. Lord Jesus, I right now am claiming your blood, the blood of Jesus, over this. And I'm asking you in the name and through the blood of Jesus to deliver me. And then you quote the word. You have said, Lord, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You said, I'm to love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. I'm claiming that, and I would love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. The blood and the word. I'd say, third of all, you run. Get away. You don't mess with him. You don't mess with his music. You don't mess with his games. Get rid of the games that have to do with Satanism. Get rid of the old game Dungeons and Dragons. Get rid of it. Get it out of your house. Some parents, I've suggested, go into every room of their house with their family. Get on your knees. Don't call me. You can do it, men. Or women, if you're the head of your house, single women. You go into each room, get on your knees, and plead the blood of Jesus over that room. Especially if someone else owned it before you. Take the pictures down. Snatch that cell phone that has any dirty language or anything that has to do with satanic stuff. Snatch it away. Take that chance, Dad. I dare you. Have enough guts to do it. Pull them away from those friends, those companions. Get them away. Maybe that friend has demonic influence. So much more. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for salvation. Thank you that the moment that we call on your name and ask you to save us, you do that. You give us eternal life. Help us to understand, appreciate the blood of Jesus and the power of your word. Teach us to quote your word. Your head's bowed. Let me ask you, first of all, do you know the Lord Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior? Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? Are you born again? The Holy Spirit dwelling in you? Right now, with your head bowed, you say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to be. I want to turn from sin and unbelief to Christ. I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. That's your choice. So right now, with your head bowed, why don't you invite him in? Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life as my Lord and Savior. I'm turning from unbelief and sin to you, Lord Jesus. Right now, I'm asking you to save me. Give me eternal life. Help me to live for you. Your head's bowed. Let me ask you this. How many of you say tonight, Pastor, I just prayed that prayer, and I really meant it. May I see your hand if that's so with you? Yes, yes, keep them up there. Yes, yes, yes. You may put your hands down. Let me encourage you that to publicly profess the fact that you prayed to receive Christ. Make it public. We're going to have an invitation in a minute. You leave your seat. You come and take a pastor. Let them pray with you. Rejoice that you just made the most important decision of your life. Turning from sin and unbelief to Christ. With your head bowed, thank the Lord Jesus for coming into your heart. Thank him. Thank him that you know that he will never leave you now. He will never forsake you. Nothing that shall separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Ask him to help you to live for him.